We are tonight beginning the 14th chapter of Revelation. The last two chapters have been kind of dreary and just dark passages because it's been covering the dragon and the two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And as we come to the 14th chapter, it's near and at the end of the tribulation period. And as we see this, we are addressed in the first five verses of this 14th chapter about the 144,000. Now, I'm going to subject you to some different kinds of thinking, maybe. I have been on these five verses all day long until my mind feels like mush. Okay? Because I've always studied it a certain way, and I've always believed it a certain way. But some very good theologians, very good scholars, not ones that are, you know, the fly-by-night type of outfits, have presented some other thoughts that, well, needless to say, I'm going to present them to you. Now, I still have my way of thinking, and I'll tell you how and why I still perceive it to be a certain way, although there is more flexibility in it now than there was, you know, at 8 o'clock this morning. But needless to say, we're going to look at this. And I want you to think about some of these things as we just look at these five verses. In verse 1, it says, "Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads." Now I'm going to stop there. Remember, all that has taken place up until this point has been on earth. I personally don't foresee any reason to change that thought. This is still something that John is recording from what he's seeing on earth. Okay? So what we simply can see here is he says, "And then I looked and behold." And what that simply means is that, okay, this is what I saw and this is what I'm recording. Okay? He saw the 144,000, Mount Zion. Okay, this is the first difference of thinking that I come in contact with, is Mount Zion itself. There are those, now I've always believed this to be earthly Mount Zion, okay? Because it doesn't say, "I looked up and behold, up in heaven, I saw him standing at the celestial Mount Zion." He's still just moving from what we ended up in 13 to this place here. But there are those that believe, certain prophecy theologians that believe, that he's talking about the original Mount Zion that is in heaven, okay? Not the earthly Mount Zion. I'm telling you, I think it's the earthly Mount Zion, and the reason that I do is because there's no change to me in the words here. And I looked him up very carefully that he is now looking in the celestial, okay? So, we have this. How have you ever thought this to be in your study? What do you think? Right? Okay. Right. That, you know, it's all symbolic as opposed to any of it being literal, you know? Exactly. That's right. They the word just slipped my mind. What it's called? Those who do that. It'll come to me eventually. But how many have ever thought this to be anything other than literal and earthly, as far as Mount Zion, where he's looking at these? Anybody ever think anything differently? Well, I think we're on the right page there as far as that goes. Now we come to the 144,000. What I think is really awesome about this is the 144,000 are mentioned prior in chapter 7, okay? Or so we think, right? Well, regardless, this 144,000 is said to have the name of the Son and the Father written, sealed on their forehead, okay? I think it's neat to notice the difference between a seal and a mark. The mark of the beast destined them to destruction. The seal of God destined his people to deliverance. Amen? I think that's just awesome. And I believe that is a definite difference as we look at the mark and we look at the ceiling. Now, this 144,000, here's another thing that there is a, and I don't want to use the word debate, difference in opinion or difference in thinking, is Tim LaHaye, who is very well renowned as far as a prophecy person and interpreter, and I've always went along and studied his stuff. But there's something that I didn't realize until today as I was rereading some of his things, that he believed this 144,000 is not of the same 144,000 in chapter 7. That there are two groups of 144,000. The 144,000 in chapter 7 is undebatable and undeniable Israelis. They're Israelites, okay? Well, they're saying that some are saying that this 144,000 are Jews and Gentiles alike and literally actually part of the church. Now, I totally disagree with that. I can't. There is no. Remember when we were studying it before, and it just gives us a slight description. If we go back to chapter 7, the important things here that we need to see is in the beginning of this, he talks about, let's start with verse 2. He says, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising sun with a seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea." This was the beginning, okay, of real wrath, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. There is absolutely nothing that gives me any indication that this 144,000 is different than this 144,000. Exactly. And that's the very, and this is what's ironic, that's the very thing they use to say they're two different groups, is because they're worded a little bit different. There's a couple of differences, and they're playing on a few words. We got to take, when it comes to this, we got to look at the whole picture, okay? And what happens after, we know that this is at the middle of the tribulation, okay? And in verse 9, starting to the end of that chapter, it's told that multitudes are saved through what I believe are these 144,000 and the other two witnesses, okay, that stood against the Antichrist. So we're told that they're saved through this. So this 144,000, they're some to believe it's not Israelis, that it's a different group. I, as your pastor, believe they're the same group. Okay, it's the same 144,000. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Everybody else is going to be on earth. Yeah. Dennis? Right. Wouldn't he have used something like, well, we have 288,000 here, in some way given us an indication that this was a separate group? It cannot be for the purpose of which they were assigned for. Now, another thing that is talked about is some believe that these are martyred, and some believe that they're still alive. Now, there's not a real clear indication about that. And so whether they be alive or whether they be martyred, the fact is that these are the witnesses that God sealed for his purpose. I can't tell you. I've always believed that they were protected through, but it also says that they were the first fruits. Okay, later on, and first fruits means the first ones chosen and redeemed and purchased by the blood of the Lamb. But we know that their work, unless God chose them not to die, and he could do that. We know that he can. Okay, so there's a discussion as to whether they were martyred, killed, or they are still presently alive. Yes, right. It's true. It's the reason we need to kind of think about it a little bit, Don, is because that's what the cults and other religions play on, are those little things. So not that, I mean, to you and I, you know, God does what God chooses to do. But as the Bible says, we need to be prepared to give a defense of the gospel. And I'm just saying, you know what, as far as to give a detailed, we can't. You can't, they can't. Because there is no detail on it. whether they be alive or whether or not. The thing is, they were chosen and sealed, and they're standing on Mount Zion with the Son of God himself. He isn't there at this time to set up his throne yet, because we still have the seventh trumpet yet to go through, which is going to be the destruction of Jerusalem, okay? Because remember, at the very end, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Well, so he's not there to set up his throne yet for the millennium either, okay? So, as we look at that's just another thing that people throw out there that I think is interesting. So, me personally, I believe it is a literal standing on Mount Zion. I believe it is the same 144,000 that's talked about in chapter 7. And personally, from the way I read it, I believe they're still alive. God protected them through it. Now, I could be wrong on that, because the witnesses and how they were killed, had a purpose, were resurrected. But in that, there was a purpose of their resurrection too. So that's neither here nor there. So it's important to know that the name of Christ and the Father and the Son are on their heads. And he said, "And I heard a voice from heaven like a roar of many waters." Now we're hearing from the celestial, okay? He says, "Of many waters like thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth." Now that's very specific. This song, we have no idea what this song is. The scripture tells us a lot about the songs that we're saying in worship and different kinds of. This song is a new song. John had no clue what was being said here. It is believed that many, that the harps and all this kind of stuff that's being done and the singing may be done by the Bride of Christ, may be being sung by the church itself. I don't know. If they were singing a song they didn't know. Okay? Some say that, you know, they themselves, the 144,000, are doing the harps and doing it. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says whatever it is, this new song, only this 144,000 are going to understand and know what it is. It is a praise. It is a worship. It is a hallelujah. It's all of those things reflecting the glory of God. That's why this chapter is considered a light in the shaft of darkness, because that's where we've come from. So it is positive in that sense. So we see all of this, the singing, the new song before the living creatures, and the song is only known by the 144,000 who had been purchased, redeemed, or purchased from the earth. That simply means they are those of salvation. And it is said by some, and I believe it's very possible, depending on when that tribulation is going to start, there can be those already assigned for that purpose of the 144,000. Okay? Now, there's one person, because of what it says, down here, and I just want to, if I can find it here. Okay, let's go on. It's in verse 4, it says, "If these redeemed from the earth, it is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins." Because of that, there is some discussion as to whether this includes women or not. That of this 144,000, there could be women included with the men. Who knows? I don't know that to be. It isn't gender specific in any of the language that I see. We know that Deborah and others were called to be judges when there weren't enough to stand up. Again, like Don said, does it really matter? Can women not go out and proclaim the gospel as men can? I don't know.
The way it's worded in my Bible, it says these are the ones who are not defiled with women.
Right, right, right.
Unless you're talking about lesbians, you know.
Well, you know, and see, this is the debate, Dave, as to whether the use of virgins is not usually applied to men. Right. In scriptures, it's applied to women. And so these were virgins. I've always believed it to be men, personally. Why? Because they have the authority that God gave them to do this kind of thing. Okay?
Getting away from the rest of the Bible, and the Bible has got to stay true to itself.
Right, right.
The men were the ones that were mentioned anyhow.
Right. Well, and you got to go back and remember there were exceptions to the rule too, you know. But it's not important as much as the fact is that these 144, there was criteria for them. That's what's really important about their selection and being sealed. They were persons, and I'm going to say men because I do believe that they were men. They didn't defile themselves with women. Now, there's two different takes on that. Some believe because of the shape of the world at the time, Antichrist, you know, basically women are going to go out and prostitute themselves in any way because it's going to be free love, free spirit, and all that. So it exempts them. They could be married and have a wife, which by terminology that would exempt them from this being defiled or immorality. I don't accept that. I believe that they were chaste from the beginning. They made a conscious decision to serve their life in a pure and moral way. Okay, that's me personally. And there are those today. We had when I lived here the first time and I was pastoring Drexel, we had winter Bible studies. And we, as five churches, collectively got together. And our Bible study teacher that year came out of a church out of Phoenix. He was 40 years old, and he was never married. And the first thing people do is question, okay, well, why isn't he married? You know, is there something funny going on with him? And yada, yada, yada. That's the way people think. And he addressed that right off the bat. He says, I want you to know I am not a homosexual. He says, I want you to know I have no desire to get married. I want you to know that I have no need to get married. I have committed and dedicated myself to the service of God, period. And he has given me the power and the ability to not have that in my life. That's what I believe is the same situation with this 144,000. Because let me tell you something. I struggled with. I'm going to do a little personal confession here. Now, maybe I better not. Let me put it this way. In the last 6 months, there's been a person that I've known, a longtime friend, that we've been talking and et cetera, et cetera. And I've prayed and said, Lord, what do you want for me next down the road? Well, 2 weeks ago, I realized that, you know what? It's not for me at this stage in my life. And the reason that it isn't is because I want to focus and concentrate the rest of my life serving God. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? Even in the thinking of starting a relationship, your focus changes. The Bible tells you it will. A man has to be considerate of the woman, her as fiancé, who is going to be his wife. You then are to take care of her. I had the best that I could have had for 41 years. The rest is irrelevant to me. It really is. Maybe it's because I'm 63 years old. I don't know. I know everybody that I know of that either was divorced or lost somebody is out looking for a spouse. I want to serve God. I've got an 8-year-old that I'm doing my best to raise. I've got family helping me with that. But I want to give the rest of my life to the Lord. I don't want to split the focus. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're married, you are going to split your focus. You have to. When you're not, you can be like these 144,000 or that gentleman that taught the class. There is no focus other than your focus on the Lord. And so it's not a bad thing. It's an okay thing to do, you know. He says here, he says that they were moral, or they were physically pure. They did not defile themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. You see, they don't have to worry and concern themselves with, say, honey, you know, the Lord's telling me I need to go to Zimbabwe, and, you know, they're martyring everybody there. You know, and she says, no, you're not going to go to Zimbabwe. You're staying right here with me. These had no focus but following God. And in doing so, they went wherever God told them to go. You know what it's going to be like. We read that, right? It's going to be horrendous. And they're going to suffer, so they very easily could be martyred, okay? And die for their faith. But they're going to get out there the strongest punch, the first fruit. That he talks about that here. He goes, follow the lamb. That's the second thing. These have been redeemed from the mankind as first fruits for God and the lamb. They were the ones first chosen in the tribulation from the Jewish nation to proclaim the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, the first fruits. And that just means that there were many more to follow. Go back to chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. And the multitudes came through their witness and through their preaching. So that's the third thing is that we can see here. And then finally, he says, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. In other words, they had, not only were they physically pure, they were morally pure. They did no vile thing. And say, well, that sounds like almost perfection. Well, these were sealed by God. We can't, you know, what else can you say about that? They didn't lie. They didn't cheat. They lived strictly and solely for the purpose of God. No lies. And they were found blameless. And guess what? You know why it's going to take that? Think of the tribulation and what it means. That's the last. You find somebody blameless in that society and that time, they're going to make a mark, aren't they? They're going to make an impact into what's being done. And because after that, we see that the trumpets begin. Or actually, the seals begin. No, it's just after the seals. The bowls begin. I'm sorry. The bowls, and then we have the trumpets after that. But then the wrath is beginning to be poured out. And so amongst all of this, there's going to be a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of searching. You know what? We've got that opportunity today in our own world, in our own society. People, it's not like this, thank the Lord. And many of those people are still mid-tribbers, believe that the church is going to go through half the tribulation. I cannot see that. I'm sorry, I cannot. The church must be raptured so that the full work of God can be done. We, the church, if we're there, we would spot him, know who he is, identify him, and wreak havoc. In that seven years would not be a 7 years in which the Antichrist can do his full work. Yes. In Thessalonians, it says that. Exactamundo. That's right. That's right. That's right. So would God leave millions of us as Christians without the guide, the strength, the comforter? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's right. So when, in order for him to work, the Spirit has to be pulled out. The Spirit of God is the only thing that's keeping a lid on the sanity of this world, if whether you know it or not. We think ISIS is bad now. Lift the Spirit off and see what happens. It will go absolutely chaotic and crazy. Crazier than it is by a long shot. So as we look at this 144,000, there would be nothing wrong to begin praying for them already. Praying for them as God begins to set them aside for the work during the tribulation, because it's going to be like nothing you and I can ever imagine. Death, destruction, disease. I mean, it's never been witnessed before. That's what the Bible tells us. And so this 144,000, what's important about it? Well, this small passage helps detail that which was began in chapter 7. Just like I said it would be. We get more detail, more understanding of who they are, what their purpose is, what they have come to do. And it's basically this in a nutshell. They have been sealed for the absolute, complete working and purpose of God. And they are committed and sold out to it. Right, that's right. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, when they destroyed the temple where all the records and stuff, the legacy and all that, that was all burned. But God knows specifically, and it's not going to be 12,001 or 11,099, 12 from each of those original tribes are going to be there and serving. And they will know who they are. They will know. And so it is a light in the dark shaft that we just covered, because things are now really going to be happening. In this next chapter, we're going to see three angels that are going to bring forth and deliver three different things. And that's what we're going to take a look at next week. Okay? So I just want to present that to you. And those, what's that? Yeah. No, I'm sorry, the same chapter. I meant, yeah, it'll be the next portions of this chapter. Okay. No, sorry about that.